Today we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and read verse 9, which says, "But beware lest somehow this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to those who are weak." You know, as the Enlightenment got underway and people started to explore our universe with the scientific method, one of the things some people began looking for was the seat of consciousness in the human body. If there's a soul, some sort of entity that could theoretically leave your body and still be you, they wondered, where does it live in your body? Now, don't forget, they were just coming out of the Dark Ages, and their entire concept of human consciousness had been shaped by centuries of mythology and superstition. But the fact remains that lots of people went looking for the seat of the soul, or at least the part of your brain that essentially represents the very essence of you. One of those people was Dr. Franz Josef Gall of Vienna, who spent a lot of time looking at the human brain. Now, for the most part, people reject the conclusions he came to, but he started assigning different parts of the brain to different functions. For example, he correctly identified the parts of the brain responsible for language, but he also incorrectly labeled other parts as being responsible for things like poetry and our instinct for owning property. Before long, he had drawn a map of the brain to show us which parts did what. The church of the day didn't care for what he was doing, because they thought that Gall was trying to suggest that man had more than one soul. And that's not what he was trying to suggest. He was simply assigning different parts of the brain to different functions. And as he thought about it, it occurred to him that if certain parts of the brain are more developed than others, they should be bigger. And if they're bigger, he reasoned, they would put more pressure on the skull. And if they put more pressure on the skull, he said, you might be able to feel them through the top of your head with your fingers. Now, what happened is that some people took that idea and developed a whole new pseudoscience known as phrenology. For decades, people took to feeling each other's heads in a sort of fortune-telling frenzy. From what I can tell, that's not exactly what Franz Josef Gall had in mind, but it illustrates an important biblical principle. None of us functions in a vacuum. Our ideas and our actions have an influence on the people around us. Franz Gall was conducting perfectly valid scientific experiments, which gave us some of our first understandings of how the human mind works. But other people, who are not so well informed, took his ideas and turned them into a circus sideshow. In the same way, Christians sometimes engage in activities that are perfectly harmless for them. And in today's Bible passage, Paul is talking about one of those activities, namely eating food that's been offered to idols. Chances are, if you eat a mango offered to an idol, nothing's going to happen to you. But Paul reminds us that our actions also have consequences on others. Someone else, who might not be as well informed as you, might end up in spiritual hot water by following your example, because in their minds, eating the idol's offering is kind of like worshiping that idol. So here's the principle for better living. When you're making decisions, if you want to do it in a biblical way, you need not only to consider the consequences for you, but also the people around you. After all, Jesus said we really are our brother's keeper. Of course, you have to be reasonable and balanced about it and understand that you can't always be responsible for what other people choose to do. But as a general rule, you need to think things through carefully, because no Christian is an island to him or herself. We're part of a living, vibrant entity known as the church. And that's why thinking your decisions through is just a better way to live.